Will a tradition of visiting grandparents or coming home for the holidays happen over Zoom instead? Have you been talking about the change of plans with loved ones, with your kids? What are those conversations like? We're talking about holiday traditions in a raging pandemic here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our colleagues at TT Book, to the best of our knowledge, are preparing conversations about how to gather but not gather in these times. You can join in at any point with your creative new ways, new twists that you're planning to roll out. We're at 800-642-1234. Shannon Henry Kleiber is a producer, interviewer, and writer for the nationally syndicated program TT Book, to the best of our knowledge, from Wisconsin Public Radio. Shannon, welcome back.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Have you been preparing yourself and thinking personally about how this holiday season will be different for you and whether you're ready emotionally for that change? I know you have to think on this about work, but also personally.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how this show started. My colleagues at TT Book and I were talking over our staff meeting that's on Zoom these days. And we were all talking about how we can't gather like we used to. We can't have big gatherings. We're not having people from out of town. We're not traveling. What will we be doing? And like so many people, I still didn't want to cancel everything. I mean, there, you know, that's an option. You could say, okay, Christmas is canceled. Thanksgiving is canceled. But maybe there's a way to rethink it. And so we started talking to other people about, you know, are there creative ways of doing something different this year?
Yeah. And so what have you been thinking about? What have your colleagues been thinking about in terms of that creativity? Of course, technology would be involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be. Also, you know, there's some things that you can still do, like reading stories together, maybe something new, like writing letters to the relatives who can't be with you this year. The cooking part of it is so interesting to me. I love food and I love cooking. And my kids who are teenagers have been cooking during this time with their cousin who's in Arizona, and they get on FaceTime and they talk about what to pick up for ingredients, and then they make something together.
Oh.
So I think preparing a meal together is still possible, even if you're not eating it together.
I just love that. And it really brings those cousins together, maybe in ways that they would never have otherwise. It might even bring them closer.
Right, right.
Tell us about the show that listeners can tune into later this month, about your approach to the holiday season, especially at this time of polarization and the pandemic.
So our show will air on Thanksgiving weekend on November 28th, but it's really about all holidays. And, you know, during this time, we still have celebrations. We have birthdays, graduations. We also have funerals, and there are moments that we need to mark in some way, even if it's not the way that we would have chosen or the way we would have done it before. So the show, we start with an interview with a really interesting woman named Priya Parker, who's written a book called The Art of Gathering. And she's the host of a New York Times podcast called Together Apart, that's about how to meet in the pandemic. So she has a lot of really interesting ideas about, take something that you would like to do during your holiday season and you can't do, and think about why you love it. Think about what it makes you feel like, and try to find something else that can take that place. And we talked about, my family usually goes to see a live performance of the Nutcracker, and my daughter does ballet and sometimes she's been in it. And so we're not obviously doing that this year. So what can we do in this time that would be something that would be not comparable, but make us feel in the same way? We talked about, strangely enough, going on a snowshoe hike, because we'd be celebrating the holiday. We'd be, you know, hopefully lots of great, beautiful snow. And maybe we could have a sense of, you know, telling a story along the way or something like that. So we talked about just changing our attitude about what we could possibly do differently.
We're talking with Shannon Henry Kleiber, who's a producer for the nationally syndicated program, To the Best of Our Knowledge, comes from WPR. And we're talking about how people are altering holiday traditions, how they're getting creative, how your family is approaching these days ahead. How are you getting creative this season? Have you created new traditions? Maybe the pandemic has caused some family tension. What is that like, and how are conversations going? Join in with your insights, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Shannon, you know, Priya Parker, so magnificent. We had her on when she had the book, The Art of Gathering, and she has so many insights on how to bring people together and how to host parties. What is she saying when, in the absence of this, when we can't do that?
So she is also saying, come up with these really unusual ideas, but ask yourself these questions first. So she says to gather your people, you know, whoever your people are, and say, what do you need this year? And do you need a sense of protection? Do you need a sense of mourning? Do you need a sense of grace? Do you need a sense of joy? And try to understand what you really need. And then try to do that together. But she also says, which I think is really interesting, that we need to realize the holidays were never always for everybody just pure joy and easiness, right? Mm. So for so many people, you know, maybe there's difficulties within families, there's tension about whose house do we go to. So to kind of remember that and make this a time when you're very conscious about what you need and what your family needs.
Yeah, there was baggage here around the holiday season before the pandemic showed up.
Right,
certainly.
Exactly.
You know, one thing where my heart goes is all those loved ones who are in assisted living or in nursing homes, and how we will be able to connect with them during the holidays. Oftentimes it was being able to take them out of the environment and into a loved one's home, and that just won't happen.
Yeah, that is, I think, one of the toughest things, because obviously, you know, the people who are in nursing homes need to be protected right now. I mean, you don't want to not have them be safe. I've been FaceTiming with my people who are in nursing homes, and it's you can see their faces and they can see you, which is really lovely. And I have to say, before this pandemic, I wouldn't have said, oh, I love Zoom so much or FaceTime so much, but I'm really grateful for it right now. I also think that if you can play some music for people, that's really meaningful. I think that during the holiday time, if you can be on Zoom or FaceTime with somebody who's in a nursing home and you could play them some music, there's been a lot of research done about music and memory and how that really brings back some great feelings.
Oh, yeah. And so thinking about not just, okay, we're going to have a Zoom call right now, but we're going to have to be able to think about what we'll be doing on that meeting. So it is special and there is something happening, almost like you want to orchestrate it.
Right. And Priya Parker talks about an 80th birthday party that she helped organize during this time. And her stepfather was turning 80, and they decided to bake ginger snaps together across different generations, kind of like my family's been cooking together too, which I think is so lovely. And then they did a progressive party together. So each family had a moment during the dinner with the person who had the birthday. So I do think you do have to be, you know, it takes a little bit of forethought to say, okay, here's what we'd like to try. Here's what we're going to do this year. But, you know, maybe some things will be similar. You'll make the same dish, but you'll just prepare it together instead of eat it together.
We have TT Book producer Shannon Henry Kleiber, who's been crafting conversations about what to do at the holidays for the national program. What rituals or traditions do you do every year that you won't be able to enjoy this year? What will you miss most? Are these traditions that you're still keeping, but you're doing in a new way? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're discussing our favorite holiday traditions that will need to be retooled in the pandemic. Maybe you're working on a new tradition. It's 800-642-1234 here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is an emotional time. Author Priya Parker talked about gathering so eloquently in 2018 when we spoke with her about her book, The Art of Gathering.
We spend our days and lives in gatherings. You know, we go from baby showers to classrooms to back to school nights to, boardrooms and weddings and finally funerals. And I think in part because we're doing it all of the time, we've kind of gone on autopilot when we come together.
How are you approaching this season, especially in the midst of loss and illness? 800-642-1234. Shannon Henry Kleiber is a producer with TT Book, to the best of our knowledge, and she's working on conversations about the days ahead. So, Shannon, you know, as we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of loss going on. Over a million people have died around the world. Huge, huge loss in our country as well. And, you know, there's maybe an empty seat at the table. How do you deal with this loss of the pandemic in the holidays when loss is difficult to begin with?
Kate, I think that's so important. And we need to grieve. And I think that during this pandemic, when we haven't been able to have funerals in the same ways, we haven't been able to have communal gatherings to say goodbye to people, I think that we need to find other ways to say goodbye and to grieve. And I talked to Priya about that a little bit. And she said, in other cultures, it's usually a procession or a big gathering. And, you know, she suggested maybe an outdoor candle lighting ceremony could be something that you would do, even if it's in your backyard or, in a community who's lost someone. I also think that you can write things about people and remember them. And even if I'm a big fan of journaling and writing things down, even if you don't share it with so many other people, it might help you. And if you could share it with other people and read it together, I think that would be particularly special.
Yeah, you know, I went to my first virtual funeral for my uncle in New Jersey who had passed away earlier this spring. And I really felt so many different emotions all at once, you know, hovering like an eye over the funeral, but then so glad to see some of my family members, my cousins and their growing children. And it felt so different, and yet I was still a part of it in some way. And I would imagine that this limbo that we're all feeling for these rites of passage are going to be so prevalent this season.
I agree. And I've lost people during this time too. And what I've found helpful too is to reconnect with the other people around them and to remember them. I lost a dear friend and I found some photographs of her and sent them to her family members. Their photographs, of different things that they hadn't seen. And then they wrote back to me and I wrote back to them. And that's been kind of lovely.
We're talking with Shannon Henry Kleiber, a producer for the national program To the Best of Our Knowledge from WPR. We're discussing what the holidays will look like this year for your family, your loved ones, taking your calls about this and what you're planning, how you're planning it. Are you celebrating differently this year? Maybe you've canceled a particular tradition. Maybe you're trying something new or planning something new, or maybe you're altogether moving the holidays to the summer months. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Shannon, what about negative emotions, negative feelings? I mean, there is so much animosity in this world and so much, negative emotions at this time. What do we do about those feelings at the holidays?
Yeah, you know, we have the pandemic, we have the divisiveness surrounding the election and politics. There's so many things going on right now that are basically tugging at our fabric of society. I think that being together, even though we're apart, is still so important. And so am even though I'm saying, you know, you don't want to meet in person in this big group, I'm in favor of celebrating and having joy in some way, because I think we really need it right now.
Yeah.
And if we just cancel everything, that will be another kind of sadness and something that's kind of keeping us apart from each other. So I would love to hear any listeners' ideas about ways to do things differently, because I think you do have to have a little bit of creativity and, you know, challenge yourself, and maybe things won't work out. Maybe my kids will say, no, I don't want to go on a snowshoe hike. I'll do something different instead. But, you know, we have on the show coming up, we have writer Helen McDonald on how every year at holiday time, she and her friends read the same book together, The Dark is Rising. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's really lovely. You know, they can do that together from far apart. So maybe some people have ideas that come from families who are in different countries and they always have to do things apart. I don't know.
You and Priya talked about saying goodbye to things at the end of the year. What did she have to say about that?
Yeah, I think that not only this New Year's are we saying goodbye to the year, we're saying hopefully goodbye to a lot of really difficult things that have happened this year. And she was saying, you know, be careful not to say goodbye to the virus, because, you know, I also kind of feel that way every time I hear somebody say, oh, 2020, because, you know, it might be next year too. And we have to be careful about not saying goodbye when, you know, it's not the right time. But she talks about the vaccine, if it works, as being kind of a way to say goodbye to this time, that you can kind of think of the moment when you go to get the vaccine, if it's safe and if it's the right moment of saying goodbye. And that's kind of this, I thought this is a really interesting thing that she thinks about as a kind of a moment when things are going to change.
Let's bring in Dale now in River Falls. Hi, Dale.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, we're starting a new tradition this year. It's been a tough year for local businesses, restaurants, with mandates getting tighter, et cetera. And so we're starting a new tradition of ordering a takeout from our favorite barbecue place on Main Street here in River Falls, and ordering that on Wednesday and using that as leftovers reheated for our Thanksgiving dinner.
I love that. That is amazing. Dale.
That's great.
Yeah, that is a really great idea. And certainly I would assume that you've been also thinking about those local food establishments during the pandemic and how your Main Street is doing. What is Main Street like, Dale?
Our Main Street?
Yeah.
It's been actually amazingly supportive of our local businesses. I'm very, very proud of the River Falls community.
Yeah, yeah. Will this holiday feel different to you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we've lost loved ones, and obviously our gathering is going to be much smaller, but we're choosing to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah. Dale, thank you so much. Marty now in Verona. Hi, Marty.
Hi. We did something kind of unique for Halloween that my mom or the grandma of the family has requested we do for Thanksgiving as well. We had our entire family spread all across the country, about 45 of us, on a Zoom call, and we played online trivia and we told jokes, and because it was Halloween, we did a costume contest. But for Thanksgiving, what our tradition, if we were all together, is for everybody to take a moment to say what they're thankful for. And that always means a lot to my mom. And to that, this year we're adding for each person to tell my mom their favorite memory of her. My father passed away a year ago, and we know that memories are very, very precious to her right now.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Marty. And it's really neat that you kind of got a jump start on it for Halloween to make sure that you got all the technical stuff taken care of and you can more fully roll it out for Thanksgiving.
That's a great idea.
Team effort.
Yeah. And I understand, Marty, you also have a big trivia game on Zoom.
Yeah, we used Kahoot, K-A-H-O-O-T. And there's all sorts of different Kahoot games that you can find online for free, or you can create your own.
Oh, Marty, that is so neat to hear. And do you think that will help your family be together this holiday?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We expected the Halloween one to only last 45 minutes or an hour, and it was 2 hours solid of fun and laughter. And my mom kept calling me the days after, saying that was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. So,
oh, I love it. I love it. Marty, that's so creative. And it's great that you're going to be able to do it again. And it might become a tradition you keep.
I think so.
Well, Marty, thank you so much for calling in with that tradition. And Shannon, thank you for joining us. Take care during the season.
You too, Kate. It's great talking with you.
Shannon Henry Kleiber, producer, interviewer, and writer for the nationally syndicated program TT Book, To the Best of Our Knowledge, from our colleagues here at Wisconsin Public Radio. If you want to contribute to TT Book's holiday work, you can email them a voice memo telling them about your holidays this year. Go to listen@ttbook.org. That's listen@ttbook.org. Coming up, we talk with the Commander-in-Chief of the Wisconsin National Guard about the many roles Guard members have taken on in the pandemic. What questions do you have about the role of the Guard missions now, especially around COVID testing? 800-642-1234. It's Major General Paul Knapp after a news update on the Ideas Network. We have the Commander-in-Chief of the Wisconsin National Guard here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin National Guard troops have collected more than 850,000 COVID test samples as part of state public health efforts to offer testing statewide. They have testing missions underway in more than half the counties in our state. What do you want to know about the National Guard's work across Wisconsin? Are you or a loved one in the Guard? What would you like to say about it? We're at 800-642-1234. Major General Paul Knapp is Adjutant General Commander of the 10,000 Soldiers and Airmen of the Wisconsin Army and Air National Guard. He also is a state senior Homeland Security Advisor and oversees Wisconsin Emergency Management. Major General Knapp, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on this beautiful November morning. A little brisk, but it's a beautiful day.
Well, your teams are collecting thousands upon thousands upon thousands of test samples. What has traffic been like at these testing sites that the Guard is running?
Well, Kate, it's been very busy. In fact, we've gone through a transition recently from being more of an outbreak-centric model with some major enduring sites in the larger cities to more of a regionalized statewide program. And so, for example, yesterday we had testing at over 40 sites across the state. We're using smaller teams because of the advances in technology and the expanded capacity for diagnosing those tests. So we've been able to get a lot broader coverage of the entire state since the COVID second wave has hit.
Well, take us to one of those 40 sites and explain the process, the back end of it, of what the Guard is doing at that time of collecting that COVID sample.
Right, great. And so what you'll do at the COVID test sites, the first thing that you'll do when you arrive at a COVID test site is you're going to get a handout, and it's going to tell you how to register online for Microsoft Dynamics product that's called DTRA. And I can't remember exactly what all of those letters stand for.
It's an acronym.
Yes. And it's Dynamic Test Result something. And so you'll get that. You'll sign up on the website. You can actually do it in advance before you go there. But there's usually enough time in line to put in your information. And that's one of the things that has greatly sped up our ability to test large amounts of numbers of people. That paperwork for the majority all the way through the summer, we had to be done by hand. And so the accuracy is a lot better. And then once you have that, you'll get a barcode and you'll proceed through the line. And then that barcode or that QR code will get scanned, and it'll pull up your information. And the person scanning the barcode will confirm your birth date, maybe a couple other items of your information to make sure that you you match up with the record and the information that you've put into the system. And then you'll proceed to the actual test area where you'll be given a swab. The swabs that we use, one of the things I always like to say, these are nasal swabs, not nasal pharyngeal swabs. The pharyngeal swabs are the ones that go way back in. These are just more like a Q-tip that just goes into your nostril. It does tickle a little bit. I've had it done a handful of times, but it's not as uncomfortable as some of the pharyngeal swabs.
That go all the way to your brain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've heard that. Yes. They scratch your brain. Right. Yeah. It's not that. Those aren't the tests that we're using, fortunately. Then that'll be it. And then you'll leave that initial sheet that you were given, has some additional information. If you have symptoms and other things that you should do in terms of quarantine and isolation, if you have symptoms. And then there's also a website that you can go on to check your results. But the other cool thing about this this electronic system that the state has developed is that it also does the notification. So on the back end, you'll get notified through this system. We've also started to import directly into MyChart for your medical records. And so that
MyChart being a UW Health record.
Yes. And it's not just UW Health. It actually is across the majority of the health systems in the state. Use MyChart.
Okay.
So I don't know all of the numbers offhand, but then that will, there'll be an entry in MyChart. That information will all be given to you on that handout. And then we get a read receipt from the DTRA notification. So what that does is it cuts down on the having to our call center volume. So our call center, which is also staffed by the National Guard, then won't have to call you because we'll know that you've already received your results, positive or negative.
Oh, so there is a lot of efficiencies you're talking about there. And you mentioned that you're having to be able to do smaller teams. Is that because this process is becoming more streamlined, the testing?
Yes. We're able to do with a 7 to 10 person team what we would use approximately 30 people for throughout the majority or the first part of COVID all the way through late summer. So it's been a great efficiency, and it's allowed us to get that statewide coverage so we can get out there. We have right now over 70 sites that we return to periodically, and each site has a different schedule based on demand in those areas of the state. But like I said, just yesterday we were at over 40 sites, and we did almost 10,000 tests just yesterday.
Wow. Wow. You know, more about the call centers here. You have approximately 30 guardsmen who are working at call centers. What is that role?
So the call center, for those folks that we don't get any confirmation that they have received their results, or for some reason they didn't have an email or a way to get a hold of them when we first got a hold of them and all they had was a phone number, then we call them to give them the results. So personally call them. So for folks out there, if you get a test from a wing center and you get a call from a 608 number, we highly recommend that you answer it if it's in that time period where you're waiting for a call. Because what they'll do is they'll leave a message. They'll actually call back two times and leave a message with a phone number that you can call then to get your results if for some reason you didn't connect on those phone calls.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Major General Paul Knapp, commands the Wisconsin National Guard. He's also the state's Homeland Security Advisor. We're discussing the Guard missions in Wisconsin amid COVID. When was the last time you were tested for COVID? Did you go to a community site? What was the process like? Did you get a barcode? How did that work? Were you okay with the technology involved from start to finish? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Major General, hospitals are maxed out. They're very taxed. Staffing is the issue. Are your troops serving in medical staff hospital capacity at this point?
No, we are not. We did some initial staffing with CNAs, Certified Nursing Assistant Qualified folks, originally early on in the pandemic. But as of right now, the majority of our staffing support for the state, for those systems that are running low, is coming, is being done through staffing agencies, and we're being assisted by FEMA with that.
Last week, a number of government leaders in Milwaukee County sent a letter to the governor asking for funding to continue testing sites. As we approach December, what will happen to community testing sites that don't have the funding?
Great, Kate. Thanks for asking that. That's a topic that's coming up. You know, we've gone through this before. So our folks that are doing the testing are on Title 32 federal orders. So what that means is the orders are paid for by the federal government, but the soldiers and airmen still remain under the control of the state, Governor Evers and myself. And so we want to continue that. Governor Evers has requested that. It has to come from the White House. It's a White House presidential memorandum that authorizes that. But right now that expires on December 31st. And we have to back that up a couple weeks to give our folks to wind the mission down. But what we're doing is we're not planning on winding the mission down. Our backup is to go on to state active duty, mm-hmm. Which basically is state-funded use of the same soldiers and airmen after that mid-December point. So we're not going to reduce our testing capacity or capability, but we will be potentially changing the type of orders that we're on. The other thing I want to mention is that it is the aside from having the federal government pay for the vast majority of those resources on the Title 32, our soldiers and airmen have a lot more protections and benefits on Title 32 orders than they do on state active duty orders. The one example that comes to mind is insurance. Mm-hmm. On Title 32, they're covered by TRICARE insurance, but on state active duty, any injuries that they would sustain would be covered by workers' compensation.
As you mentioned, Title 32 has the Guard under a governor's command, your command, but the federal government funds the Guard, helps ease that financial burden on states where troops are working. How many jobs currently are supported under the Title 32 status in our state?
Under Title 32 right now, we have nearly 500. I don't have the exact number. It fluctuates day to day depending on we're always bringing people on, mm-hmm. And taking people off orders to try and accommodate some of the things going on in their personal lives, like college students. We have a lot of college students. We have a lot of folks. And as you know, being citizen soldiers and airmen, the majority of the folks that are doing this right now have left their civilian careers and professions to come and do this. So one of the things I'm adamant about is making sure that we monitor those soldiers and airmen to make sure that if they do have hardships related to being away from home and away from their civilian lives, that we can try and rotate them out with another volunteer that can take their place.
Talking with the Commander-in-Chief of the Wisconsin National Guard, Major General Paul Knapp, are Guard members in your community keeping COVID testing open and running? How is it going? Is a loved one in the Guard? Have they been called up? What is their role? Join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Major General Knapp here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with the head of the Wisconsin National Guard, Major General Paul Knapp. He's also the state's senior homeland security advisor and oversees Wisconsin emergency management. We're discussing the role of the Guard in this COVID health crisis, taking your questions and calls about the National Guard, 800-642-1234. We were talking there about Title 32 before the break. Is there enough funding under Title 32 status to carry out the COVID testing mission in Wisconsin? If you need to call up more troops to staff COVID sites, do you find that you have the headroom, the flexibility to do that?
Yes, we definitely do. We've got a lot of volunteers, and we definitely have the force structure to do it. The caution for me right now is because 2020 has been such a milestone year for Guard mobilizations, I'm concerned about the operations tempo for the soldiers and the airmen. I mentioned, you know, soldier citizens and airmen. And you know, this has just been such an unprecedented year. In fact, it's been the year of the Guard, and it's the biggest mobilization in history of the Wisconsin National Guard, dating all the way back to the 1830s when Wisconsin was still a territory.
Let's bring in Jess now in Milwaukee. Hi, Jess. What would you like to add?
Hi, good morning. I served in the Navy in the 80s, and I had nuclear, biological, chemical warfare training. What I don't understand is why the CDC recommendations don't match what I was trained to do during a bio or viral agent attack. And obviously, this might just be a simple pandemic if they don't want to look at it as an attack. But the point is, we're not being told things we should be told, like to shave and use the proper PPE, to hydrate properly, even just basics, boost your immune system. And none of this has come from CDC recommendations or any of the media hype concerning COVID.
Well, Jess, let's start with PPE. What are Guard members wearing? What are they donning at these COVID testing sites, Major General?
Yes, the PPE actually is another thing that has changed significantly since the beginning. Like Jess mentioned, you know, we're trained in chem biohazard. And so we used a lot more PPE early on. But as we've come to understand the pandemic and COVID-19 a little bit better, we are using N95 masks, gowns, and gloves at the actual collection sites. And that's been determined to be the appropriate level of protection for the service members.
Have you encountered Guard members testing positive due to their work at the COVID testing sites?
Well, interesting question. We have had Guard members test positive for sure, like all other populations out there. But we don't have very good data on exactly where they've contracted it. The majority of them can more easily be contracted, just like the civilian population, to activities outside of the COVID testing sites. In fact, I'm not aware of anyone who has a known contraction from a COVID testing site. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but it's not something that we have been able to directly correlate.
A listener sent us an email saying sites that do rapid tests suggest that if you have a positive result, you should go get a PCR test to confirm because they're more accurate. Does the state count that as two positive tests then when you look at the dashboard numbers?
You know, that's a great question. I'm going to say I do not think so, because everyone is tracked as an individual in the mm-hmm. system. And so it is true that if you get a rapid test and you test positive, like the UW system has just started using the BioNex now, I can't ever remember the exact name, rapid test. And then those that test positive would get a PCR test on site prior to leaving. I'm pretty certain that would only be counted as one positive. The best place to get that info will be from DHS, the Department of Health Service.
So are Guard members facilitating PCR tests mostly at these community COVID testing sites?
Yes, that is the type of test that we offer at the testing sites. Potentially some of our outbreak sites may eventually go to the rapid tests as they're becoming more widely available, so that when we have an outbreak, specifically in a congregate living facility or something like that, or maybe even a corrections situation where we could get a really quick snapshot on positives so that we can better quarantine and isolate.
Talking with Paul Knapp, the state's Adjutant General in charge of Wisconsin National Guard members, we're getting an update on Guard missions in Wisconsin amid this health crisis. You can join in. Do you find COVID tests are running effectively? Have they been easily accessible to you? Where do you want to go to get testing? And is the Guard running that testing site? Join in with your insights, 800-642-1234. I want to switch gears here to Election Day as we saw hundreds of members of the Wisconsin National Guard work as poll workers. Others were on standby. Can you explain what happened in this mission in November?
Sure. In November, we had it was our fourth polling mission in support of the Wisconsin Election Commission. We had approximately 450 wing members that were mobilized across 53 counties. And what that did is it allowed us on state active duty to ensure that all of the polling places could open for this very important election.
So what were you able to glean from the past elections, the spring election especially, that you were able to bring over for your troops in November who did this mission? Were there some lessons learned?
Absolutely. You know, there's one thing that the military is great at, and that's after action reports. And so we have learned in each of the successive elections since the April 7th election, where in less than 72 hours, we had to have 2,400 Guard members mobilized to support in 71 of the 72 counties. So in terms of lessons learned, I think the biggest lesson learned was with COVID overall. And, you know, going from 2,400 in April down to 450 in November, my hat's off to all of the communities out there and the election officials, because they were able to recruit and train and plan for an election during COVID so much better than we were able to do in April. And so just by the fact that we only needed 450 wing members in November kind of speaks to the great job that WEC did across the state.
Switching to a vaccine, forthcoming vaccine, President Trump has touted the role of the military in distributing a COVID-19 vaccine. But even if federal troops do not end up handling the forthcoming vaccines, National Guard units may do so in many states, perhaps Wisconsin. Do you see a role for the Guard in vaccine logistics, vaccine delivery in Wisconsin?
So as of right now, we are in the planning stages along with DHS and a number of other state agencies to accept that vaccine into the state from that Army logistics distribution that you mentioned. The big active duty Army is going to get the vaccine out to the states, and then it's up to the states to get it actually to their citizens. So we are actively involved in the planning with DHS definitely being in the lead, but we're definitely willing, ready, and able to assist in any aspect that the state needs us.
You know, we talked about a number of missions here. This is a really busy time for the Wisconsin National Guard, being called up in many different capacities here. Can you withstand this for the long haul? Can you keep up with this pace?
Well, as I mentioned before, that's my number one concern as the commander is the resilience and well-being of the force. And we can. One of the things I think that's critical, though, is that from myself all the way down to the lowest supervisors and subordinate commanders is just taking care of our people and making sure that those folks that have hardships or that have particular needs for their family, whether that's to get off orders or to just take some leave. That's my number one priority for those soldiers and airmen, is just to make sure that we keep an eye on their well-being, because it's not just the soldiers and airmen. It's all the citizens of Wisconsin and the United States, and in fact, the world, you know, who have been impacted very hard by this pandemic. And the results have been very devastating for many families. And so I'm just trying to keep an eye on the soldiers and airmen and make sure that their well-being is considered.
Thank you for joining us and for your service.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Major General Paul Knapp commands the Wisconsin National Guard. Just ahead, we discuss the history and present day in hip-hop. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.